This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, everybody. I am so happy you are tuned into Tech Vibe Radio tonight. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Audrey, we're kicking off the show tonight. Sometimes we have to jump.
I know.
Right,
we're kicking off the show.
Yeah.
Right here with Rachel Oafabi. Oafalabi.
And you're from Carlo.
And she is with Carlo. And they have a hub for workforce development and innovation.
Absolutely.
And she is going to be here with us talking about the workforce challenges in the Pittsburgh area and what they're up to.
And how Carlo is addressing them.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So let's dive in. Let's just jump in.
Okay.
And talk about what you're up to.
So in the summer of 2017, we established the Carlo Hub for Workforce Development and Innovation. And this was really in response to the Inflection Point Report from
The Allegheny Conference.
Yeah. Yes,
excellent.
Correct. Yep. So this was in response to that. And the hub is really geared towards exploring new academic programs, new pathways to alternative academics and for folks who are underskilled, for folks who need to be upskilled, so professionals who are already in the workforce but need to learn new tools, new approaches. So
that's what we're seeing lots of in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
Is we need people to get retrained or to get new skills.
And so what are you seeing? What are you seeing those skills are, and where are the areas of concentration?
There's a lot, actually, but I mean, as you would imagine, there's a lot in the emerging trends such as technology and, you know, artificial intelligence and things like that. But going back to basics, there is a lot of needs from employers in terms of soft skills. So we've been getting a lot of that. So being a liberal arts institution, it's that's really our forte.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been able to go back to our curriculum with our faculty and incorporating all of these skills into our curriculum. But in addition to that, we're also developing what we call professional advancement courses, where folks who maybe, you know, for some reason they've been out of school, they need to be upskilled in basic professionalism.
Upskilling, that's the key word.
That's
that. Yes,
that's the word. That's a trending word right now. So it's so we do this in forms of credit bearing and non-credit bearing. So for folks who have already been to college, if they don't need the credit piece of it, they can come in.
They get the skill part of it.
They can get the skill part of it. But those who need it for a pathway into college at college credit, they can also do that
right.
as well.
So what? Yeah. So talk about soft skills. What does that mean?
So these are your basic problem-solving skills, critical thinking, leadership, project management. Those are skills that every job needs that, right? So whether you're in technology, whether you're in healthcare, business, you need to have those skills regardless.
For sure.
And I think one of the most important things is, you know, when people talk about we need people to code, we need people to do this language,
right?
But you can train a million people to code, but you can't train a million you can't train those same people to have problem solving skills.
Exactly.
Those are skills that need to be embedded.
Take those skills and apply it to solve real problems.
Exactly.
And do
so
stuff
throughout the curriculum.
Absolutely.
Right. Yep.
Absolutely. So Carlo is such a cool institution because you're like Pittsburgh, like to the core, right?
Absolutely.
Everyone
so
well branded with Pittsburgh. Like even my mother. My mother's a graduate of Carlo.
Yeah.
Back in the 60s. Yeah. Nursing degree. You guys are known for your nursing.
We did not.
Your mother's a nurse.
She was, yeah, not anymore, but, you know, that's what she was trained as, a really good one, too.
Great.
And she, you know, loved her experience at Carlo, and everyone knows Carlo's being a nursing school, but I see you diversifying out from that, because obviously that's always going to be your core. That's your bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
But to now take, you know, all the skills that you have and apply this towards some of these new areas, to me, is very exciting.
Like the nursing you mentioned, for example, one of the new programs that we're launching this fall is the Health Information Management and Analytics.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a program that combines healthcare, technology, and business. And so
that's so exciting because you're taking those areas. It comes, and that's where the industry is leading.
It is.
And to see Carlo at the leading edge of that, saying, no, we need to bring this in.
Yep. And it's a high need.
Yeah.
It's a high need, not just for the region.
Upskill people with it. I had to say upskill one more time.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's cool. You know, that's one innovation we're doing with healthcare. And another innovation in terms of employer partnerships, we recently completed a course development for a health technology firm out in Wexford.
Nice.
So it's on my journey.
Okay.
And they are trying to train nurses in the region on nurse navigation.
Ah.
So this is patient care throughout the, you know, life cycle
right.
of the patient.
Oh, wow.
Right, right, right.
So they have this great application where we developed the course for that. And the idea is that, you know, when a patient comes into the hospital from soup to nuts, basically, there's somebody going everywhere
right.
with them. So it's very,
oh wow,
very innovative stuff. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I know. We're proud of Carlo.
Oh, that's good to know.
We're very proud of Carlo because actually Carlo is part of the innovation corridor.
If you think about
the whole strip across mm-hmm. Forbes and Fifth Avenue,
oh yeah,
Carlo is an anchor.
You can't avoid it.
And you can't, it is. I mean, it's the beginning of Uptown.
Yep.
And it's actually an area that the back end of Carlo is being developed by the University of Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so we are all part of that whole ecosystem.
That starts
at Chatham.
Yeah.
And it runs all the way down.
All the way
right?
down.
Yeah.
And I guess Duquesne's below you, right?
It's Duquesne's downtown.
Yeah,
right.
More towards
corridor.
The downtown.
But
yeah.
we think of that as part of the, you know, of our collegial capabilities.
It is. And it's a nice line if you look at it all the way from Point Park through right. Duquesne, Carlo. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
And so we're very excited about some of the changes that have happened at Carlo and your partnership with employers.
Yes, we're looking to explore, right. even get deeper into that. Another program I wanted to talk about
Surely.
Is our new cyber threat graduate certificate program. So we already have the master's in fraud and forensics, which is one of our flagship
Absolutely.
Online programs.
Right.
This particular one is a partnership with the NCFTA, which is the...
Yeah, our neighbors upstairs.
We know
them. You
we're
know
them,
National
them.
Cyber
yes.
Forensics. Yes. yes. Mm-hmm. So we partnered with them to create this... you know, it's very it's comprised of four courses,
okay.
and they're going to do a capstone with the NCFTA. So the students will actually be
so
there.
They'll be there.
Yeah.
yeah.
So they do a lot of work on the dark web and
Absolutely.
All that.
Oh, cool.
They do.
It's a fun program.
That's why I'm so glad you're here to be able to talk about some of this stuff.
Yeah. Well,
so if people want to know more about this, is there a website or anything
Carlo,
that they can...
Yep, the Carlo website, you know, carlo.edu.
Simple as that.
All of our, you know, you can... search within there for the workforce directly, mm-hmm. but you can get right. all the information there. And the MicroMasters for the NCFTA, the cyber threat, is that still enrolling for the fall?
Absolutely.
So that's excellent.
Yeah. Rachel,
we're thrilled to have you.
Ah, absolutely. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah,
thank you for being on our show.
Yeah.
That was Rachel Afolabi from Carlo, doing us proud here. All the great stuff going on, really. Carlo.edu. Check them out. We've got a great show in front of us today. I can't wait to get to it. We have Gene Lazarevich from ACNC and Jetstore stopping by. This guy came to this country with $25 in his pocket and built a pretty big company, doing some cool stuff. Really cool guy. Second time on the show. His story is so awesome, he had to come back on. Just saying, I love the guy. We've got Bob McCutcheon stopping by tonight from PwC, bringing some industrial insights.
I know, what's really happening in automation?
Autonomous vehicles in the workplace, man. That's what I'm saying. It's very exciting. And we also have a podcast. I was on the scene, Audrey. I was hanging out with Lunametrics on the South Side a few weeks ago. So I grabbed an interview with their new CEO about all the investment they're making. They're hiring like crazy over at Lunametrics right now. SEO, website stuff, you name it. They have it going on there. So learn more about that. Great show in front of us. I can't
wait.
It
is. That's
great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyhow, we're taking off, taking a quick break, coming right back. I swear, this is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. It's just been 35 years the PTC's been around helping tech companies succeed. We love it. Can't get enough of it. Thanks for keeping your dial tuned right here to Tech Vibe Radio, bringing you the best of what's making Pittsburgh's technology industry kick butt. And one of those butt kickers, Gene Lazarevich from ACNC Jetstore, no stranger to the show. This guy's got a heck of a story. That's all I can say. So I'm like, you got to come back, give us an update, and fill our listeners in about kind of how you built this really cool company over the past, like, what, 25 years?
Yes, that's right.
Just 25 years?
Just 25 years.
And you came here from another country. You came here from Russia.
Where?
That's right.
Where?
Came here from Moscow.
Right.
From Moscow.
In 1991.
Yeah.
And, why did you come here?
Well, we immigrated, the whole family immigrated here from Moscow, and it was my dad, my mom, my sister, my uncle, my aunt. So it
became,
you know, the big, big family.
And why Pittsburgh?
My uncle was here, so, you know, he sponsored us.
Mm-hmm. He's like, come to Pittsburgh.
He just come to Pittsburgh, and I had no idea how Pittsburgh was. You know, I just knew the steel industry and everything, and we came, and here we are, you know, 26 years later.
That's
here,
so cool.
Here, kicking butt, just like Jonathan says.
And I remember last time you said you started with like $25 in your pocket.
That's right. We came with pretty much nothing, and basically just got my first loan from my parents and started the company, and just kept going.
You haven't looked back since.
And they believed in you.
Yeah.
They believed in me. And since they still believe in me. So
that's so great. Well, so talk about your company now. When you started it, what's the work that you do?
So we started in 94, and basically we were doing export of technology, and then we decided to become more of a storage company. So we started making products in the storage industry, and then we created our own brands called JetStore. And, you know, since then we've had like 4,000 customers, you know, basically companies like NASA, Disney, Starbucks.
The small guys.
So how did you break into the small guys? Yeah, these small guys like this. How did you break into these small guys?
Well, we have, you know, we have a lot of good partners, and, you know, we kind of expand in the network now, and, you know, we actually have gotten some good partners here in Pittsburgh lately, and I was going to talk about it. We have a new partner called ITPS.
Okay.
And they are, you know, we just signed up them. We signed them up like basically 2 years ago and been doing a lot of projects with them. They just kind of opened up about 2 years ago, and it's ITPS LeftCon, and they are doing a lot of projects. We've been doing a lot of projects with them. We've been installing hotels and manufacturing companies and schools. So it's a new company here in Pittsburgh, and it's our partners. So
I love it.
Give a shout out to them. So
very, very cool. And you have like a diversity of customers. Like, you're in every vertical.
Yeah, we do basically everything, you know, from universities, government institutions. We do a lot of work with some imaging companies and media companies, and, you know, pretty much all over the place. Anybody that needs data, big data, AI, and pretty much anything with data storage, we do.
So you can build the boxes for
them. We can build the boxes. We can build, you know, we sell a lot of terabytes, petabytes. Now it's all petabytes.
That's what's so crazy. It's
all petabytes.
Did you think that, like, you know, 25 years ago, we were talking about petabytes of data?
Right. So we started, you know, when we started, we were doing 4 gigabyte drives.
4 gigabyte drives.
It's just
USB sticks, right? So now we're doing 12 terabyte drives, 14 terabyte drives on the horizon. And of course, now it's all flash. So now we're moving to
a
new flash. Everything's flash. Everything is very fast. Everything, no latency. So it's all about flash now. So we're doing a lot of flash lately. So our new JetStore X line that's been shipping this year, and, you know, we've been doing a lot of flash. It's all about flash.
And you're building those flash boxes. You're building them here in Pittsburgh and shipping them around the world.
You know, we've been in, right here in Pittsburgh on Baum Boulevard. And, you know, we have a lot of, you know, customers here in Pittsburgh. And, you know, we have it also worldwide. Actually, half of the UK police departments are using JetStore as well. So we have a great partner in UK.
No way.
So what's your website? So
it's jetstore.com.
With
the
no E at the end.
No E at the end. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's our website, and you know, we get a lot of business by, you know, a lot of referrals and word of mouth. We do a lot of shows. And
so what do you think about, like, since 1991, you were here. I wasn't living in Pittsburgh.
I was.
What was it like?
It was bleak.
What was it like? You know, do a flashback compared to
no pun intended there either.
Definitely changed. I mean, I remember it was quite dark and everything.
It was quite dark. It was February when you arrived, right?
Yeah, yes, exactly. Right. So it was definitely changed, because everything was at that time. You know, I was actually started when I came here. I started work at UPMC, so a lot of people were changing from like steel industry to medical industry. And then it became bio and tech and everything. So,
right.
I mean, I could see the whole transformation of the Pittsburgh, how it went from just being the steel town into this high tech.
Was it really dark in 1991?
It was dark.
I think it kind of was. I don't know.
Really?
Maybe my memory paints it that way. But 91 was kind of like.
You were dirty? Did you get dirty when you went outside?
I didn't get dirty, but I mean, it didn't look as, I guess, now I think it definitely looks lighter and just seems to be kind of, I think we're on the move. I think Pittsburgh is definitely on the move.
Absolutely.
So I think it's coming up, and I think there's a lot of good things are happening.
But you and your family were here right at, you know, critical juncture.
Right.
In terms of the history.
Yeah. It was definitely changing. I mean, I could see that a lot of people were out of work, and then they started getting into this medical fields and tech fields and everything. So it's definitely changed.
And what made you do the jump from being at UPMC saying, no, I'm going to do my own company?
Right. Basically, I had a friend who had a company in Russia, and then we started exporting the technology. And then you know, I got into technology. I got started, you know, became really interested in IT and computers and then hardware and then storage. And then the rest is history.
That's what I like, man. So that's, I just love these stories where it's like, I want people from around the world to come to Pittsburgh and do what you've done.
Yeah.
That's what's making Pittsburgh great. We want more of that.
And just last, at the end of December, actually, I was nominated for Immigrant of the Year by Global Pittsburgh.
Oh, right.
And I was competing with the people from Duolingo and InScam. And I came to the event, you know, with my family, and I had no idea that I was going to win, and I did win.
You won.
So I beat those
That's
guys.
That's what I'm talking
you
about.
Beat, you beat Louise and Priya.
Yes.
Like, yes.
Yes. So it was really good. It was in technology innovation, and they called my name, and I had
to come up. What?
They said, please prepare your speech. I wasn't ready. So
I wasn't ready.
I just had to come up and say something, and it was great. There was a lot of immigrants.
That must have been an awesome moment in your life to have that kind
after
of recognition.
26 years coming here was like $25, and then finally getting some recognition, I think, is great.
And your family is still here?
Yes, my family is still here. My sister moved to, she lives in Silver Spring, Maryland, but my mom and my dad are still here.
I love it.
It's great. We're glad to have you here.
Thank you very much. I'm glad I've been a member of actually for a few years. And
Well, we're glad to have you in the city.
Thank you very much. Thank you for all your support, guys.
Absolutely. So we got a couple minutes left. Let's just talk a little bit about like what's the rest of 2018, any new things that the JetStore is going to be releasing. I mean, obviously, Flash is what you were just talking about being the big thing.
Yes, definitely. We are basically working on a lot of new Flash, and our JetStore X line is doing really well. And, you know, all our new partnerships, like I said, with ITPS.
Right.
And then we have new partnership with guys in Baltimore called Click Solutions. We also signed up a few partners in Mississippi and California. And then we partnered with Hitachi HDST systems on a new very high density 1.2 petabyte units.
Good
so
Lord.
I just came from Arizona.
Who would have thought we were talking
I know,
about?
Man. It's pretty, I love it. It's so
pretty
cool.
Amazing. It's 1.2 petabytes in 4U. They just released these units, and it's going to be for AI, for any kind of like self-driving vehicles.
So I can fit like two or three movies on there, right?
Oh, yeah. You can fit like 2,000 movies.
I love
it. That'd be really fun. Yeah, those boxes are going to be great.
So cool. What a great story. Once again, JetStore with noe.com.
So great to see you.
You can learn all about it.
Yeah, man. And Jonathan, thank you very much.
Gene, you're making Pittsburgh proud, man.
Thank you very much. We're going to keep going here.
Good stuff. Hey, we're taking a quick break. We're coming back with more great stories just like Gene's here on Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey.
And we are from the Pittsburgh Technology Council, where we are proud to have members like JetStore. Simple as that. Learn more about us, pghtech.org. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into Tech Vibe Radio tonight. We get to have the best time talking to the best and the brightest, making Pittsburgh's technology sector pop. And I guess it was not so long ago, one of Pittsburgh's kind of cooler companies, Lunametrics, was acquired by HS2, really creating some great things here in Pittsburgh. And we're here to learn more about the acquisition and the company and really how it's really investing further into the Pittsburgh region, which we think is so exciting. We love seeing a company that's been started by one woman and then grow to a point where it's acquired by a really, really dynamic company out of Chicago. And I'm talking to two of the guys behind this today. So we have Phil Hollier. He's the new CEO of Lunametrics. And we have Alex Moore. Alex, what's your position again?
I'm the VP of Analytics and Insight.
Ooh, you get to do all the fun stuff.
That's right.
Nerding out on all the data, right?
Of course, absolutely.
Oh, good stuff. So thanks for taking the time to talk to us. It's great coming to your offices here.
Thanks for
Southside,
coming.
It's beautiful. It's like this old, like it looks like it was once a manufacturing setting here. And it's like how the new economy is just kicking butt. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Absolutely.
So, Phil, tell us about yourself.
You bet. Phil Hollier, I'm the CEO of HS2. HS2 is actually the second company my business partner and I started. So I'm the H, he's the S.
Ah,
and this
gotcha.
Is kind of our second go-round. So we started in Chicago about 14 years ago. I've been building the company organically since then.
Fantastic.
About 2 years ago, we brought in a terrific financial partner called Mountain Gate Capital out of Denver. And working with Mountain Gate, we started to identify some really killer companies that we wanted to add.
You were shopping around for some cool additions to add capacity, right?
Capacity, capabilities, yeah. Talent. Late last year, we started talking with the folks at Lunametrics. And, it was just a perfect fit from the get-go. Culturally, we're Chicago-based and very kind of Midwestern value.
Right.
A lot of focus on culture and doing great work, taking care of clients, being a fun place to work. And,
absolutely.
So we've just been really excited. Also, personally, I've been coming to Pittsburgh for a couple of years. My niece as a dancer at Point Park.
So, very cool.
Kind of fell in love with the city through just traveling here with my wife and brother-in-law and his wife. And it was just kind of one of those things where
I was going to ask you about that, like how you're thinking about Pittsburgh. And so you already had some association with it. So, no, this is a great town to be. This is, why would we not acquire this company?
Yeah,
especially when you have guys like Alex working here, right? I mean, as we mentioned before, like this is part of the secret sauce of Lunametrics and you adding those capabilities.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
I mean, Alex and some of the other team members here are a huge part of the story and the reason we were interested. And, you know, we really see that there's a lot of growth opportunity. The community here, the tech community, is really thriving. You know, people are moving back to Pittsburgh. The university base with CMU and Pitt and, is producing just fantastic talent. And, we just think that the future is very bright. And
yeah. We were really pumped when we saw about the acquisition. Like, wait, this is so cool. People get freaked out, oh, it's being acquired. But when we start learning that you're hiring, you're adding capacity, it's strengthening what's going on here in the region.
Absolutely. Our goal is to run out of office space as quickly as possible.
I love it. That's a great goal. So, Alex, tell our listeners about what Lunametrics is. What are your key competencies and why it was such a good fit for HS2?
Sure. Yeah. So the company was founded by Robin Steiff in 2004. And back at that time, it was really just herself. And then she hired a couple of employees, but it's still pretty much a very scrappy, bootstrapped startup. Over the course of many years, she really established ourselves as a thought leader in the Google Analytics space in particular.
She was a true pioneer with that.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. I remember when she started Lunametrics up, and it was like people were just starting to think about what she was really taking the lead in Pittsburgh with.
Absolutely. She was a pioneer. She was thinking about analytics 10 years before anyone else really was thinking about it. I came on board 5 years ago. At that time, there were four of us focused on analytics.
I love it.
And now we're up to 23. Actually, 24 as of yesterday.
Okay, so. Someone just came on. I love it. See?
So Phil was definitely correct about the, aiming to run out of space here on the south side. That is happening. My role has been to establish our competencies around Google Analytics in implementation, reporting, and analysis. And for the listeners who maybe don't know much about what Google Analytics is, it's a way of measuring your website behavior and how people got to your website, or app,
exactly.
I should say.
I mean, this has become the key way as to how people build business now. At the end of the day, this is like the nerve center. This is, you're seeing what's going on.
Absolutely.
And be able to control and create new business and new channels because of the data that you get from the analytics.
Absolutely. And you need your data to be clean and trustworthy. And then once it is, once you've laid that foundation, then you can do remarketing, retargeting, following people around as they navigate to other websites to advertise to them or to just create a better experience for them on the website. And that's one of the great things about the HS2 acquisition. We were never building websites. We were never building apps. We were just tracking them.
Exactly.
Right?
So you brought these two cool things together. It's like the peanut butter and the chocolate came together, and then boom. Just saying, something wonderful happens, right?
It's the ideal acquisition for us, and I think also for HS2. It's just been a great partnership so far. The fact is that we've all been able to keep our jobs here in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Phil and the leadership are really investing in our office here in Pittsburgh and the growth of jobs here. The business that we've built here is the foundation. The fundamentals are not changing.
Exactly.
That organic growth is going to continue.
That's what I love hearing. So, Phil, you're in Pittsburgh. How often are you in Pittsburgh here to
I'd say about once a month.
Once a month?
Yeah.
Excellent. So what are your kind of thoughts as far as Lunametrics being part of the ecosystem here and how Pittsburgh really has a really strong trajectory right now? What are your thoughts on this as a region growing and how Lunametrics is really part of that?
Well, our plan for the year is actually kind of mind-boggling. We're going to grow about 30% this year organically, HS2 and Lunametrics combined.
That's amazing.
And Lunametrics is a big part of that. I think the Lunametrics business is going to grow by almost 50%, and that is a testament.
Hence running out of space.
Hence running out of space.
Love it.
Have a hiring plan. I'm not going to be surprised if we exceed that
right.
plan. And, a lot of the great work that the folks have done here is just, fueling that growth and taking care of customers. And, as Alex mentioned, we're kind of bringing together world-class analytics and world-class engineering and customer experience. And so now we can offer more services to customers.
Okay.
We can, say this is what the data is telling us, and then we can help customers take action and drive results. And
yeah.
So we expect, those things to have a kind of a perpetual motion with our clients and to allow us to do, more for them. So, we often say, 1 + 1 = 3. And that's what we're trying to do. And like I said, we're off to a great start.
I love it.
Got a great plan for the year. And I think we're really looking forward to hiring here. And
that's what I want to hear.
And we have other competencies like our strong engineering and our. Our UX and UI design, and those are areas we would like to expand in Pittsburgh.
You talk about all those areas, combining that with the analytics. It makes for one powerful combination. Now, is this something that is a sweet spot for a large company? Is this can anyone, like a small three-person startup, can utilize your services and kind of grow with you? How's that
work? That's a great question. I think we do work with some early-stage companies, but we also work with the largest of the large.
I know you have some very impressive clients, that's for sure.
A big variety, Domino's Pizza, Zipcar.
Are they paying you in pizza?
No, thank goodness.
Damn, I would love that.
I will say we do eat a lot of pizza at meetings at Domino's. And one of the other great things is they make us go through pizza prep school.
Wow.
So they make sure everybody in the company knows how to...
This place is getting cooler and cooler to me. That's all I'm saying right now. I love it. That is fantastic. So obviously, large companies plug in, but you can also work with people at the startup stage as well, if it fits right. As far as this, I always tell people, don't be shy. Reach out. Because if you need help, everyone needs help around the analytics side, I think, especially. Mm-hmm. To be able to have those conversations is huge. I know you've done a lot of DIY series with the Tech Council to educate our members. So I think I just really can't tell people enough to go to lunametrics.com and check out the site and just look around there and you go get some ideas as to what you can do yourself. But then you need to call the pros in as well, too. And believe me, sometimes you got to call the pros in as far as that goes.
I think that's a great point. And I would add to that education and training have been two major components of our growth.
Early on, I remember you guys were doing all types of stuff for free just to get it out there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we have a series of public trainings that we give all around the country and also here in Pittsburgh. And then we have our great blog that we contribute to very, very often with both analytics and also digital marketing strategy.
It's a great insight. You go there, you can nerd out and just get your mind wrapped around it a little bit, get you thinking about it, right?
Exactly. So I think that anyone of any size can really benefit from the importance of clean data and actionable insights.
Excellent. So we've got about a minute left. I guess one final thing, the future, the next 6 months, big growth going on. Anything else we should be thinking about when it comes to Lunametrics and HS2?
Well, a couple of things we're thinking a lot about is just, you know, AI and machine learning.
Definitely.
And, you know, CME's got a tremendous program in that space. We've got some excellent talent here. So we're really looking forward to bringing that into the productization of our clients' projects and offerings. And so that's just kind of a really exciting thing that Alex and I are working on together.
Definitely. Good stuff. I'm so glad we got to talk today. Such great news for the region. I wish you continued success as you build Lunametrics and HS2 here in the Pittsburgh area. But lunametrics.com?
Yes.
Best place to go. Thank you so much. We're taking a quick break. We're coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio, I swear. Great tech stories like this everywhere I look. Can't help but fall into it. Learn more about the Pittsburgh Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. Oh my goodness. I've been waiting all night to do this segment, Audrey.
I know.
I think we saved the best for last because we got a good friend in the studio with us, one Bob McCutcheon from PricewaterhouseCoopers, PwC.
Good to be back.
Yeah, man. It's been too long. We're glad to have you back in the studio with us.
Good to be here.
It is good stuff. And we're talking about industrial mobility. I love these topics that you guys have.
Industrial mobility.
I know. He brings the cool
you
factor.
Fancy.
Cool.
How cool is that?
We know what we're talking about.
I'm just saying.
What are you talking about? Like,
it's autonomous, right? It's autonomous, but it's, I think too many people, when they think autonomous, they think of self-driving cars.
Right.
And what they're seeing on the streets, but the reality, there's so much more going on in the
industrial setting.
Right. Yeah.
Really?
Exactly.
So, okay, we better. So let's just dive in.
Yeah.
What's really going on?
Well, if you think about all of the opportunities in an industrial space, there's a whole ecosystem that's being built with, you know, things like forklifts, right? Trains, on-site trucks, marine. But think of transportation, logistics. Mm. All of the other opportunities there are to move things in an industrial space. And I think the opportunity there is greater in the near term, principally because a lot of that can be self-contained. It can be on private property. Mining is another good example.
Yeah, you have a contained environment where there's less variables for crazy things to happen.
That's right. And you have, you know, drones I would throw into the same.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say drones fall into this whole category.
Exactly. You're
automating something that's doing its own thing.
Yeah, and I think companies have the ability, you know, so stepping back, we started asking ourselves some questions. You know, where is the money being spent? What is the opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
This is why I like PwC, because you do the analysis.
Yeah, we ask the questions and then we try to do the analysis and figure out, you know, what direction is it taking. So with the Manufacturing Institute, we did a recent survey of about 128, you know, large mid-sized companies. And what we learned was, one, over 60% of the investment in autonomous is actually happening in the industrial space.
Oh, so there's actually more going on
on here than there is in what we, you know, in a consumer world think of in terms of self-driving.
And that's a really great point, because when all these situations occur, it's all the stuff around consumers.
Yeah.
And we should really blow that up, Jonathan. We should be talking more about this.
It's been over $6 billion invested.
Just $6 billion.
There's a disproportionate amount of coverage that people need to be cognizant of. That's cool.
And it gives us a chance, I think, to innovate and experiment a bit with all the different types, you know, the modes of transportation that can be used.
Right.
Tractor trailers, you know, you see a lot.
Let's talk about the tractor trailers, because did I not see something? Was it last summer? The first autonomous tractor trailer was a load of beer. I think it was a beer truck.
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
Okay.
But there are some significant orders for autonomous tractor trailers that are taking place right now. Tesla had
made
an announcement.
And it's a good-looking tractor trailer, too, if I must say so myself. Like, it is the tractor trailer of the future.
Yeah.
So if there's that much money, what are the skills that you're seeing in terms of what's needed?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, clearly companies are going to look at this as a significant cost savings opportunity, right? And I think they would say that, you know, there's somewhere between 25% and 30% cost savings that could be achieved over the next 10 years just through using this technology.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no doubt there's going to be, you know, a skill shift and some displacement that's going to take place as a result.
Invariably.
If you have truly driverless vehicles.
There's a whole industry around just driving trucks. I mean, that's how our stuff gets moved around. So.
Yeah, exactly. And while we have a long way to go, you know, in terms of highway traffic, I think a lot of the transportation that's happening within the industrial space will happen sooner, but it's going to create a whole new set of jobs and skills.
To keep that stuff made, to
optimize it, to keep it maintained, to build the software, to
maintain the algorithms. I mean, there's a lot that will go on behind the scenes. It will be a new set of technology jobs and skill sets that will be required just to maintain, monitor, and work the new process. But, you know, we will displace drivers in that process as well. So I think it's, you know, we have to be mindful that that is going to be an ultimate.
But there are other opportunities for drivers. I mean, and drivers have the expertise to be process control folks.
Exactly.
And not have to schlep all around.
Yeah, I mean,
the U.S.
You know, maybe a way to think about it. We can all visualize what's been going on with drones, right? And while they are unmanned, right, there is somebody behind a control.
That's my point.
For
it's
a drone,
a process control, right?
Yeah. So, so I think it's a different kind of skill set.
But the drivers have expertise,
absolutely,
because they've been driving. I mean, who could be better prepared than the drivers to help us into the next iteration of this?
Exactly, exactly. So I think it's exciting. It's a huge change. But from my perspective, I think it was just a big surprise. You know, similar to your reaction, we don't think about the manufacturing and the industrial space when we think about autonomous. And that's where a lot's going on right now.
Sure. Reminding our listeners, we're talking to Bob McCutcheon of PricewaterhouseCoopers. So Bob, you've got lots of great information on your blog and on your website. Where can people go to learn more about this and all the other topics that you guys like to go deep on?
Sure. Well, you can go to pwc.com under industrial products, follow our blog. We've got a lot of fun, you know, information.
That's why I love it, because like I said, you're bringing some unique perspectives and angles to things that people might think, oh, it's mundane, it's industrial. No, like leading edge technology is going on behind these industrial settings.
Yeah.
And it's actually the proving grounds of what we're going to be seeing more of in the, you know, the more public facing side of this type of thing, which I think is just so interesting.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a precursor.
Without a doubt. So so maybe talk a bit more about some of the insight that PwC kind of mined up with the survey and the study around.
Yeah, sure.
These things. You
know, so as I mentioned, we talked to 128 companies,
right?
And we were trying to do a couple of things. One was to understand the current uptake.
Right.
So what are they currently doing? What are they thinking about doing going forward? Not surprisingly, only about 6% of companies are currently adopting some
form.
Right,
because it's a big investment to get into that.
It
is. It's going to be the bigger companies that can actually say, no, we need to start thinking this way.
And I think often, you know, we proceed cautiously, right?
Of course.
But about 11% have said in the next 10 years they will adopt. So, you know, we're starting to approach, you know, in the next 10 years, 15-20%. Of companies who will use some form of autonomous in the manufacturing process.
That's quite the market then. I mean, in the opportunity to have that amount in that time frame.
Well,
so.
And think about if I say $6.8 billion was already invested since 2012, and we haven't even seen all of the uptake yet.
Right.
I think that's an enormous opportunity. It's still in development.
Exactly.
And it's still. Is there any industry where you're seeing more of this than others?
Well, you know, I think... you know, anyone that has a heavy logistics footprint is obviously going to have opportunity.
Right.
I think, you know, large-scale heavy manufacturing where you've got large facilities, where you've got fleets of vehicles, forklifts are a good example.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, a lot of trucking, on-site trucking, you know, where you're moving things back and forth. So anytime you have a complicated logistics setting in a manufacturing environment, I think you're more likely to see an opportunity there. You know, at the end of the day, safety is still going to be a big concern.
Always the top priority, of course.
And it's you know, we see it on the news every day when we see the concerns that are being raised on the highways with autonomous, and those same concerns would exist in a manufacturing environment as well.
I look at it like if you go back to like 1905 and people talk about, well, the first person was, you know, injured or killed in a car accident.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, that's... You know, like that's because it's a new technology. It's a new way of doing things. And so, yeah, like we have to get on that curve but always try to maintain the safety that we possibly can. But
yeah, it's an interesting debate.
Incidents are going to happen.
The real question, and it's going to be difficult to prove until you have scale in the large volume.
Yeah, exactly, right.
But while it may not fully eliminate accidents, you know, many would argue that it should significantly reduce the number of accidents that you have versus human beings driving these. So
absolutely.
You know, obviously that's yet to play out.
So we're living in really cool times right now to be kind of witnessing a complete shift as to how things get moved around and things get done.
Yeah.
it's like, whoa, I got to remember this point in my life so I can laugh at myself.
Well, yeah, I often joke that, it's sort of like, horse and buggy, people will still own cars, but they'll own a car.
Right.
Right. For collections. And
that's me.
As opposed to the need to drive
right.
one yourself.
Exactly.
For me, it's to have the car to go.
Mechanical capabilities and understanding the underpinnings of it. Right.
Because sometimes it's just fun to burn some fossil fuels. I hate to say it, but man, nothing unwinds my mind like getting in my car.
I think these are exciting times. I mean, people, safety, when you think about travel and the amount of accidents that occur, most of those accidents occur because of humans.
Yeah.
It doesn't, right? It's a very small fraction that will occur as a result of automation. And we don't want to see anyone get injured.
No.
I mean, that's the target condition. But if you look at the history just of the automobile, accidents have not decreased.
No.
As we know. And,
technology can
help us.
Definitely be employed to significantly reduce the number of accidents that we have.
I agree.
I think there's a tremendous opportunity now that we've never had before.
Well, you have an upfront view of what's happening here. So that's really pretty cool. I think I'm going to take notice now of being more cognizant of talking about this part of the industry. And I think that's important, that we just get sort of sensationalized in terms of the consumer piece. But all the things that are happening that are actually helping us get food to our stores and to our tables and things like that,
we may
have no clue about what it takes and what kind of automation is being used behind the scenes.
Exactly. That's why I enjoy having Bob McCutcheon stop by the show on a regular basis, because we get the inside track on this stuff. We get to see what they're paying attention to and what we should be paying attention to. I love it, man.
Thank you.
So once again, give us your site one more time. People want to check out all the action.
PWC.com, and you can check me out at McCutcheon Bob on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all the links to all the thought leadership and the surveys that we've been doing.
That's what it's all about.
Is there a song in your head right now?
Yeah, but probably not one I'd want to say on the radio.
Thank you, nice. Bob McCutcheon.
Good stuff, man.
Thank you. It's always good to be here.
Hey, man. Another Tech Vibe Radio under the belt. We're back next Friday, every single Friday here on KDK. We love bringing you the best of what's making Pittsburgh really I'm calling it a technology mecca at this point. We got some great stuff going on, simple as that. And learn more about the Tech Council at pghtech.org. 35 years helping tech companies succeed. This is Jonathan Kirshning.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Have an awesome weekend, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.